Live from Puebla, it's Austin, Texas. This is Stacker News Live!
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to another exciting episode of Stacker News Live. My name is Carmen, BMF Keon. Keon! How was your week?
My week was pretty good. I took a shower today. I did something else. I was listening to ambient music. That was kind of nice. It felt pretty good. It felt like, what it feel like? I had described to myself how it felt earlier, and it felt really accurate, but I don't really remember. Oh, it was like a whale song, but made by humans, you know? Like, you hear like whale noises, but that's what ambient music is like. It's like humans making it with, I don't know, synthetic devices. So that was my exciting week. Those are the two highlights. How about you? What did you do?
It was good. Been a busy week. We started another podcast called OAPN. That's been a good thing.
Another one. How many podcasts you got now?
Too many. But Austin Montes. It's not... what's the other one called? The one that we were getting?
Oh, McConaughey's.
Yeah, it's not that one. Dude, that one is really bad.
Yeah, light you up. Does that charge your phone?
Oh, Pacific. It's just been a busy week. It's going to be another busy week next week. A lot of stuff is shaking in Austin. We were talking about some of it today.
Shaking.
It's moving fast, dude. It's moving fast.
The world.
It's wild. Like the AI spinning. Thing is just like booming. AI, Bitcoin stuff is just taking off, dude.
Bitcoin stuff.
Maybe like if you're in SF or anywhere else in the world, maybe you probably wouldn't see it the way we see it here, but we're definitely seeing it. Or at least I'm seeing it.
Wait, you firsthand. Think it's more intense here than in San Francisco even?
Or all I don't know. I haven't talked to the Presidio guys, but maybe.
I mean, we're definitely in a tier two city, so we should be having a lot.
A lot of capital. We're going to jump into all the top stories. You've never seen this crazy show before. It's called Stacker News Live. Cover the top three stories every week on the front page of Stacker.News. My favorite place in the world. Keon's favorite place in the world. And check out some of our popular videos. Some people like some of the stuff that we do. They click it. Wumble, he's one of the main guys behind the scenes making all these clips. Clippets. Today he has a sponsor for his Wumble's clips this week. So we're going to talk about that. And let's jump into it. The very number three top story this week is U.S. SAR successfully extracts downed F-15E WSO alive. This is from CJE-95 Political Law Territory. 36 comments, 11,000 sats. Keon, what's going on here?
Yeah, I do some research on this because I try to not pay attention to world events usually. But we're in war, if you don't know, which you might not know. I mean, you might only get all of your news from this podcast, in which case you're fucked. But if you don't know, we're at war with Iran, apparently, or Iran, if you like saying it differently than I do. And we're like bombing them, and Israel's our friend doing it, I guess. And I guess we were bombing them, and an F-15E Strike Eagle fighter jet, which houses two pilots, was shot down over Iran, I think from ground defenses. Iran's ground defenses shot them down. So it has two airmen in it. One is the pilot, the other is the weapons specialist, and they're like kind of firing the missiles and stuff, I guess, or, you know, prompting the bots to fire missiles now. I don't know how they do that now. The pilot was quickly recovered. I think shortly after they went down, he was quickly recovered, but they ejected perhaps at different times. I don't think we know exactly. The weapons specialist was not immediately recovered, and it took several days to find him, and for a while it wasn't clear whether he was captured or dead or what had happened, but it appears what happened is he landed and then hiked 7,000 feet along a ridge line in the Zagros Mountains and then hid there in like a crevice, and then restricted his, they have like beacons on them when they eject, and I guess he restricted it from emitting radio signals because he didn't want Iran to discover him either, because there's, you know, they can see it too. And then I guess he sent out a few messages that were meant to be sort of cloaked, where he said, you know, things that he might expect on local radios. And then the CIA, I guess, picked up on it, or no, they assisted, and they had, they used other technology to locate the airmen. And then they eventually recovered him with lots of, you know, there's lots of news around that too. Like, you know, I think they used like 155 aircraft, and they occupied some agricultural airstrip near the recovery point. But he's apparently safe and sound back in the United States.
And Salman Soshi with a top comment. He said, former rep meeting on Easter morning. This is what the President Trump posted. Then he posted that tweet. He said, everyone in his administration that claims to be a Christian needs to fall on their knees and beg forgiveness for God and stop worshiping the president. So, yep, checking all that stuff out. I don't really have any thoughts on this. I'm like you. I'm too busy with my life to like pay attention to what's going on. He's the elected official, so there's that. I don't know. I don't know what else to say besides that. So I just gotta pray they make the right decisions. I mean, that's kind of how I feel about it. But I don't really know too much about the whole thing. I haven't really been following it. Last week was Holy Week, so I was doing church stuff, and this week's just been crazy busy. And then the week before. It's been a busy year, dude. It's a busy year for growth, and everything as far as like growing. So, I mean, I hope everybody's okay.
Yeah.
What's your thoughts on it?
Thoughts on what?
This whole thing.
Oh, the aircraft or the war? The war, I don't know. I haven't really been paying too much attention. From what I can tell, I mean, most wars start in a weird way. Maybe they, you know, you have to, and then the government's like, well, we have special information that you don't have, and I don't know. It seems kind of retarded to me. It always seems retarded to me. I don't exactly get it, but I'm not a war expert, and so I don't pretend to be one, and I hope people don't die unnecessarily. Those are my thoughts on the war.
Check out the conversation. It's on Stagger.News. There's a whole lot of stuff going on. A lot of people explaining what they see. The next top story is burning electricity for 115,000 sats. The home mining revolution is here. From Den, 16 comments, 16,000 sats. Keon, what's Den talking about this week?
Yeah, Den, I guess, has a Bitcoin mining home heater. Is that
the Canon one?
No.
Oh, that's his? He made
that? Yeah, so you might be familiar with the Canon one, which is also a home miner.
Interesting.
Or the Heatbit, which is also...
That's my favorite one, by the way.
Well, yeah. They also gave us one, didn't they?
Yeah, but also Alex is just a great guy, too.
Yeah. I mean, all the miners are...
He's especially great. Yeah, so.
Oh, I didn't realize he was special.
He's very special. Yeah, he's figured out the whole supply chain part, which is the hardest part. Anyway.
Oh, well, that's pretty awesome. Okay, anyway, this is not a Heatbit. This is like European's version of a Heatbit, or that's how Den describes it. It's the Ofen 2. That is the model name from a company called 21 Energy. Yeah. And so he says that the unit that he has is rated at like 40 terahash per second.
Per second?
Yeah. Wow. And he's able to get it up to 43 terahash per second. But he says he does not recommend it at that because it was really loud and kind of unbearable. And it also pulled at the higher hashing rates, it pulls a lot more energy. But the performance of it actually decreases. It's probably not dispensing.
And then this is what he's paying per kilowatt right here?
Yes. So he goes into the economics of it, and I believe he's in Iceland, and he pays, I think altogether he pays $13.50 per kilowatt hour. And he goes into like how energy prices or energy billing works there.
Dude, look at that VAT tax, dude.
They have a pretty nasty tax. They pay for both the electricity and, I guess, distribution of the electricity. And distribution of the electricity accounts for almost half of the cost that they pay. Anyway, he does all the math on it, and he says that over the course of 3 months, his household burned nearly 4,000 kilowatt hours, and he spent the equivalent of $681 on that power, and then he earned 115,000 sats or $80 back. But that is not the energy that, or the power that his household used is like the total power that he has, like three other heaters in addition. Again, he's in Iceland, so it's cold as fuck most of the year. And
I think the thing, I don't think he mentions it here, but I think it goes without saying, like the non-KYC opportunity there is probably the most important thing to consider when you're doing like a whole mining setup for yourself. I think, at least that's how I think about it personally, but.
That is a significant advantage of home mining. There's usually a premium associated with no KYC Bitcoin. I'm not sure even under those circumstances it works out to being worth it, because you can probably acquire no KYC Bitcoin at a premium in some other way, either kind of in a peer-to-peer fashion or some other fashion. But still,
freshly mined Bitcoin.
It is a nicety. It's one of the nice benefits of doing your own mining is KYC free Bitcoin. But I think Den in this case is more interested in offsetting some of his energy costs, because he's already having to heat his home a lot because he's in Iceland. I think he says that at the current Bitcoin prices and given what he paid for the energy and stuff, it'll take 26 months for him to pay off the actual device itself.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, and he's like, well, if Bitcoin price was higher, that might happen shorter. But anyway, he likes it. He's a very big fan of the machine. His main complaint about it is that it's a little too loud.
Okay.
And he says it's not even the fans that are loud; it's the PSU is for some reason makes quite a bit of noise.
Yeah, we got the top comment from from Dan said, "LOL update." The very next day, we got hit with a super hot spring day. Sun's shining, so I actually turned my beautiful guy off for a few hours. Sage, very sage. No sets for me. There you go. Everybody else just thanking him for sharing it. This is good stuff. Real Bitcoin Doggy said, "How does it feel to be a sovereign individual?" Dan said, "Amazeballs." That's a word, apparently. It's in the dictionary. Amazeballs. Keon, what do you think?
I think.
Are you going to get one?
I don't have really heating or even cooling problems at the moment, so
all right.
I'm probably not going to get one.
Where did he put the... he did put it here, so this is the website here. Does it come with the cat, too, or no?
Yeah, and apparently, I think since he bought his, they have an 80 terahash per second version, and they also have a black version now.
Oh, wow.
So, no...
It is interesting, though.
Not what's the black one look anymore. Like?
Ooh, I like the black one. Man, how big is it?
It had a cat.
It showed the cat there, right? Yeah. Let me see. How big is that cat? My cat looks probably about...
It's
probably a chunky boy, though.
It's like eight cats. Six to eight cats worth of heater.
You could probably fit, like, four cats.
It's like a bag.
Four chunky cats.
You think four chunky cats?
I mean, if they're wet, you could probably fit.
Wait, wet cats?
Eight like soaking cats.
Are soaking cats smaller or bigger?
Shrink. Don't they shrink with all the fur? Or is that flubber?
Well, I mean, the fur, or you can compress them. You can put them.
Really?
You don't need to wet them to compress them. You can just hang compress.
No, you can fit more cats on there if you have a wet. They're wet. Can't you? Yes, you can. Because they're skinnier, Keon.
They look skinnier, but they're always the same skinniness. It's not like I spray some water on you and you have a six pack.
Well, cats do.
No.
Somebody follow up with this. Fake.
Yeah. Do we have any veterinary
I feel like Vake is a cat guy. Vake. Let us know. Like somebody spray down their cat before and after for a photo so we can see? Because I think I'm right. I think they actually do shrink.
They look smaller. They don't shrink.
I feel like it's all fur, though.
That's what I mean.
That's why they shed, Keon.
I think we're just like talking past each other because I'm just saying they don't actually shrink. Their fur compresses.
If they shrink, I think if you shrink them, you could probably fit like 1, 2, 3, 4. You probably fit like 8 cats on that thing. But chunky cats, when they're in their full fur out,
yeah.
1, 2, maybe 3 tops.
All right, I see at least 6 cats. If that's like a normal.
That's a chunky
American cat,
but it could all be fur. Anyways, great stuff. Maybe if Dan has a cat, he can just wet down his cat, throw it on there, and see what it looks like.
Yeah, and
then how many cats we can fit on top of that
thing? Put a dry cat. Yeah, do a dry cat,
and then do a wet cat. Anyways, so why are you tuning in the show? The next top story is. Let's go here. The number one top story this week is Earn Real Sats Now Live on Bitcoin Quest. This is from Neat Creations. 31 comments, 26,000 sats. Big fan of the show. Keon, what did Neat Creations say this week?
Yeah, I guess, so Neat Creations released btcedu.app, which is a Bitcoin, he calls it a Bitcoin education archive. And he calls the I guess the topics that you would learn about, he calls them channels, and you can read those channels. And when he announced this post, he was announcing that he released a feature where if you earn 1,000 points on his Bitcoin education archive, you can withdraw 100 sats. And most of what you do to get up to 1,000 points is you browse a bunch of channels on the site and read them and engage with them in some fashion. And you can accumulate these points and then you're good to go.
How do I start exploring?
I guess he stayed up all night. Oh, bitcoineducation.quest is a longer version of the same URL. He also has a little paperclip guy called Nacho who you can talk to. It's got a lot going on. It's pretty skidoo. But
is this Nacho right here?
Do you see him? Do you see a little guy?
I can't see a reindeer.
Oh yeah, like a reindeer. Nacho the reindeer.
Okay.
It's got a lot of ideas. Got a chat channel. All
right. So what do I do? So I click this, and then I go through here.
Yeah, he's got a lot of great. He links out to a lot of things. So YouTube videos that he finds particularly interesting.
Good stuff man. Like that. Cool stuff. And then every time you pass a module, you get sats or something? Is that how that works?
I think you get points, and it should show up. It shows up in the upper right-hand corner how many points you get.
Can I just speed through it and then not have to do it?
I'm not really.
Yeah, I guess I do. Cool.
Perhaps, yeah.
I'm not sure
how sibyl-resistant it is. I guess.
Another one. Uh-oh, there he goes. Now it's a radio show. He's like, hey, you're cheating. Nacho says you're cheating. Oh, no, he's not saying you're cheating. He's saying the Bitcoin white paper is only 9 pages long. Oh, wow. Interesting. This is cool stuff.
Yeah. Vibe coding, man.
I love it. A top comment from Ecreation says, I refuse to go to sleep until this is finished. And now I still can't sleep because I'm too excited for people to try it out. Cool. Everybody's trying it out. Have you played with it yet or no?
No.
Okay.
I mean,
I just tested it out right now. Good job.
I went around on it and stuff. I haven't played with the faucet though.
Nice stuff. Cool. That's all the top stories this week on Stacker.news. We're going to jump into Wumble's Picks, the most popular segment. Wumble's Picks. Are we in Idiocracy yet, Keon? This is from Wumble. He wanted us to talk about this today. I don't know if you saw this, but this is kind of what is going on here. So are we in Idiocracy yet? Tracking how close reality is to Mike Judge's 2006 prophecy, brought to you by Carl's Jr. I like Carl's Jr. actually. Not the greatest burger, but it's okay.
Surprised. Do they even exist in Texas?
Yeah, there's like one or two Carl's Jr.'s.
Okay.
In Austin, I think.
Oh.
They're barbecue, but it's good.
They're barbecue Carl's Jr.'s? What do you mean?
A barbecue burger.
Oh, they have a Texas-specific Carl's Jr.?
Yeah, I think it's just on the menu.
Oh.
It was so good, we even Whataburger copied it. Anyways, let's jump into this. President Dwayne Elizondo, Mountain Dew Camacho. I thought I said that. That was in the movie. And then on the right side is reality TV star becomes president. So I guess the biggest question I had around here was it 92%? Where is that based off of?
Is the movie Idiocracy matching reality? And
I don't think that's...
They say it's a 92% match.
I would say no. Wish you could vote on this.
I don't know how they're exactly measuring the match.
I would say no on this one. Brando gets electric lights versus corporations lobby against water regulations. I would say that's a no. Oh, My Balls is the number one TV show in America versus Jackass. That's a no. Costco Law Degree versus Google M, and that's a no. Carl's Jr., FU, I'm Eating versus Brands Embrace Hostile on Hinge Social Media. I could see that being a yes. Great Garbage Avalanche versus Great Pacific. I don't know what that is. I don't think we're there.
Okay, so Carr disagrees with the website.
Yeah, what do you think?
I would say we're not as close as this suggests, but I might be too dumb to see it. That's kind of what happens in the movie. And perhaps, you know, perhaps I'm at 92%. I'm 92% idiot. And I just don't, I don't know that the world has changed and we're all dumb. So that could be the case.
He had a question here. The question that Wumble had was, what movie is closer to reality, 1984 or Idiocracy? What do you think, Ian?
I don't exactly remember 1984. What did we do in
1984? 1984 is government speak, government thought police.
Thought police.
There's a lot. Control, the corporatization of.
Yeah.
I would say closer to 1984, but it's like it's done in a very sly, suggestive way.
I would say they kind of both have some points to them, or at least they seem to be manifesting in some fashion. I don't know. Reality seems more fun than 1984 would suggest, and so I think it's closer to Idiocracy. It feels more like Idiocracy.
So you're
it might be
Idiocracy.
Yes,
it might. I'm saying 1984. But I don't really think it's entirely 1984 or entirely Idiocracy. For the record, I actually think it's more going towards Blade Runner's future, in my opinion. That's where I think we're headed.
Which is what? What is Blade Runner's future?
Got to watch it. But because even there, there's you kind of like in between like where there's still kind of Idiocracy stuff, and then there's still kind of futuristic stuff that's cool. But then everybody's in their own, doing their own. It's very like our future looks very much like Blade Runner future, in my opinion, which also has a little bit of both, very little. So I guess that's hopeful, maybe.
Oh, isn't Blade Runner like kind of a dystopia, though?
Not entirely. I mean, there's some pockets. Depending if you watch both versions.
Okay.
Cool. Good stuff. If you haven't seen either of these movies, I would definitely watch Idiocracy. It's a funny movie. 1984, that's just read the book. All right, cool. That's Wumble's Picks this week, brought to you by Wumble's or Carl's Jr.
Oh, because
he got a sponsorship.
Because then Idiocracy.
He got a sponsorship for his segment.
Oh, that's funny. I wonder how did he contact Carl?
I guess he just has that kind of like.
Is there a Carl Sr.? By the way,
I think he just has like I think he just has like the pool, Wumble pool. I mean, it is a popular segment. We're gonna jump into the AI stuff. Let's just start with the Sam Altman one. Do you see this, Keon? Sam Altman may control our future. Can he be trusted?
I didn't see this. What is it?
Apparently, this is the creepiest. This is the creepiest like video I've ever seen. Like, yeah, it's super creepy how they like made that video. It's wild, dude. But Yeah. The New Yorker did a whole like kind of piece on Sam Altman where they were just it was pretty bad, man. It was very salacious. Yeah. Do you have any thoughts on it? I saw that you posted it on your you posted it on Stacker News.
Yeah. Yeah, I did. They just kind of go over people, generally people who had a bad view of Sam Altman and his disregard for AI safety. And the conclusion is that he's a dishonest person. That's kind of, I think the biggest takeaway is that, and there are ways to frame that, or maybe not so bad, is like he's like a malicious, like sociopathic person, and he's more so just a people pleaser and wants people to kind of do his bidding, so he'll lie to them so that he can please them and they'll do his bidding. And maybe he doesn't have ill intent, maybe all else being equal, he wouldn't lie, but he does lie. That's kind of what I believe that's true. And they kind of have several instances or anecdotes in there where that's the case. One of which most people will be familiar with, which is his, when he was fired from OpenAI by the board for him being dishonest with the board. Several other instances where he's dishonest with the board. Several instances where he's dishonest with like the founder of Anthropic. He ended up leaving as a result because he was originally at OpenAI. He ended up leaving because he felt like Altman was lying to him about his stance on safety. And there, the article points out several instances where that manifests. Sam Altman telling him that he's taking AI safety seriously, or is going to deploy certain money to it or certain resources, and then refuses to admit that he lied about it. Aaron Schwartz also at one point had, I think he was in the first batch of Y Combinator with Altman, or it might have been the second batch. It might have been first Y Combinator cohort. Aaron Schwartz and Sam Altman were in it. And Aaron Schwartz is quoted as having said that you need to understand that Sam can never be trusted. He is a sociopath. He would do anything. And some of the more fun stuff was they uncovered some of his relationships with Peter. I don't think most people are familiar that he's quite friendly with Peter Thiel, quite friendly with Brian Chesky, the Airbnb founder, Reid Hoffman, and the list kind of goes on. But that's who we've got. He's going to have the biggest IPO soon at $1 trillion.
Yeah, and I think even Paul Graham came in there and like somewhat defended him a little bit. I don't know if you saw that tweet.
I did see that tweet. Yeah, he said.
I don't know if it's in here. It's not in here.
He kind of repeated what he's publicly stated elsewhere, and they cited in the article, which is that that Sam was not fired, and that he was just. They asked Sam to choose between OpenAI and Y Combinator, because at the time Sam was the CEO of Y Combinator. And yeah, that's all that Paul Graham would say. But the article says that colleagues of Graham's Graham told colleagues in private that Sam was lying to them, and that they didn't trust him anymore, and that's why they asked him to make that choice. But that might, Graham says that that's a mischaracterization of what happened, and that very well might be the case. Who knows?
Yeah, it was a big one this week. The other one I wanted to get to was the Anthropic stuff. So Anthropic claims new AI model Mythos as a cybersecurity reckoning. This was also from New York Times, not the New Yorker. Read the headline here. The company said on Tuesday that it was holding back on releasing the new technology, but it was working with 40 companies to explore how it could prevent cyber attacks. I feel like Austin wants to say something because...
No, I want to hear what Keon has to say.
Oh, okay.
Do I speak now? I don't think I have much to say. I didn't really look very deeply into them because there's really not much that's announced other than... Here's this claim that you cannot verify. because we haven't actually released it. And you know, because we're claiming it. And but I you know, it's also consistent with the trajectory that we're on with these models, that they would get better like this. So it's also plausible, and I believe it. Like even existing models can do a pretty good job of finding 0 days and things if you direct them well enough. I know there were some other like anecdotes that they shared about trying to like put what is it called again? It's called Mythos. Put Mythos in like a jail, effectively a program jail, and it escaped by chaining together a bunch of vulnerabilities.
I feel like all they did was just deploy agents around them now. Well, that's all this did.
You want to let them talk in there? Yes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I totally agree with your sentiment, and this is how I like look at a lot of these announcements. And Anthropic has also like been posturing this for a while. They posture a lot of things. They posture that coding is going to end. They posture that they posture against open models, and they posture that we need like extreme AI safety, you know, regulation and stuff like that. But where this had me put away that filter and look at it from zero again was, you've got FFmpeg and OpenBSD saying, yeah, this is real, right? So it's not just that these
real though.
They said these are claim. The 0 days that they found are real.
Yeah.
And in the OpenBSD case, it's like it's a 0 day where you can get root access like through some, you know, niche attack. And then they also released the full model card for Mythos. So it's not just like a marketing announcement. There's lots of details, and inside of that model card, it's like 50 plus pages. There's lots of anecdotes, right? But they're anecdotes, right? But it's across Anthropic. It's across these companies that they're working with Glasswing. And Glasswing is like the coalition of big companies that they started when they were kind of realizing how powerful Mythos is, which supposedly was around mid-February when they were finally like doing these tests internally. And they're like, oh, Mythos can likely pwn every browser in every operating system. So like that's the story if you just follow what, you know, you follow what the media says. That's what the story is. And it's like what you can verify, what gives me pause is I believe that FFmpeg is not participating in a lie and OpenBSD when they say that these vulnerabilities were found. And so for me, that feels like a paradigm shift in, like, cybersecurity, where, yeah, this is locked away in a lab. They have, you know, the God model. Do they have they found vulnerabilities to Bitcoin, right? And something I asked the other day, and I actually saw Mike Schmidt tweet about this separately, is Bitcoin Core getting access to Mythos? And he said that, you know, we would like to, and, you know, kind of made the nice public message about it to express that, yeah, obviously Bitcoin should get access to Mythos as well. It's on that same class of open source projects, and it's protecting, you know, $1 trillion of value. But, you know, if Anthropic is sitting on a 0 day to Bitcoin Core right now, that's big news. We care about that, right? Or if they're sitting on a 0 day for every, you know, open source operating system that we care about. I don't want to like fearmonger about this, but I do want to like consider. And also like, isn't this kind of coming? Even if Mythos isn't it, isn't this kind of coming? So
yeah. I think with all security stuff, you have to take it seriously because there might, in the off chance that it's real, or even if it's like a low percentage, it's real, could be very dangerous, especially for Bitcoin stuff. So I didn't mean to say before that I don't believe the claims. I just don't know if they're true or not. It's best to act as if they do. When security mailing lists and get vulnerabilities reported, I think the ideal posture is that they take them very seriously and treat them as if they're real vulnerabilities, and at least try to sift through the ones that are real and not. I think this is for anyone who has a project and is paying attention to all the bug or all the vulnerability reports that are coming out. There's been a huge uptick in them. I shared an article, I think a few weeks ago, about some security mailing lists that had gone from two to three reports a week to something like 10 serious vulnerabilities reported a day. I think that there is an exponential in security reporting, bug finding, as well as model capability. They're probably going to track quite closely. So I think this is just another, this is on that same trajectory is what I would guess. Opus was already pretty good at this. And so you said paradigm shift, or if it's a...
I say it too much.
Yeah, it's a nice thing to say. And so it might be, but to me it sounds like more just like, this is the next model's capabilities are much higher. And if we're on an exponential, it's going to be a larger jump than the last one. And it will be quite capable of finding bugs. And we know that the founder, Amodi, is of Anthropic, or the CEO of Anthropic, is very concerned about these safety issues, although it might just be posturing for market share. And so this is kind of consistent. Like in that New York Post article that we talked about before, one of the reasons he left OpenAI is he drafted a charter for OpenAI that said that if there was a competitor who got significantly ahead of OpenAI, OpenAI itself would shut down and join the competitor to help its safety efforts and give it more resources, because they didn't want to get in a position where there's like an arms race between models. And it was Altman removed that from the charter and lied to Amodi about having removed that. And that, I think, was like perhaps causes the big rift.
Will Anthropic do this now? If they are in first place against OpenAI? I was thinking the opposite. Like, they're about to be in first place, so they would want OpenAI to just come join them and help the safety efforts. But I guess, yeah, okay, that's interesting. According to their internal narrative, like, OpenAI has never been ahead to that degree, when I think a lot of us have seen that OpenAI and Anthropic have been bouncing between the one and two spots, kind of, and honestly, kind of Gemini as well. Like, Gemini is extreme. Like, it's not what us coders love to use day to day, but it's like very capable of doing this kind of, not safe outcomes. But I mean, just curious, a few thoughts. What do you think the world starts to look like as we get into? Like, I think the paradigm shift is kind of that these attacks have always been niche. There's so few people in the world that know about them, can do them. And then there's the kind of how much profit do you get for how much effort? Like, that equation is totally fundamentally changing. And maybe this isn't the full thing, but I mean, what do you think about that transition that we're all going through?
Fortunately, as Bitcoiners, we do this kind of defense in depth stuff. So I think it's quite, at least we're a little less vulnerable, although if this is an exponential, it doesn't matter how deep you are, the exponential will eventually overtake your defense in depth. I don't know. I don't know what the future holds. I suspect my optimistic view of AI is, to the extent that it's harmful technologically, it will also benefit defenses against its harm. And so that is my sense of it. Like, if I'm on the security mailing list, what I'm doing is I'm patching these vulnerabilities with bots, or these vulnerabilities that bots are discovering, I'm patching them with other bots, or I'm trying to detect them myself with bots to patch them. Or I'm, at some point, we'll have like reverse proxies that are actually an agent that's kind of looking at things. Like, I suspect if it's true that these models are great at finding vulnerabilities, they're also they also should be great at hardening software against them. And so I think that we just end up in a situation where it should level out if access is free and open. Do you have a different point of view? Are you?
I kind of agree with that. I have two last thoughts.
Kind of agree with that. One thought I had is that if we believe everything Anthropic's saying, maybe there will be this period of time where if they have the God model, you know, that's what they call it, it's the Eye of Sauron, and you don't have access to it. And if the Eye of Sauron points at you, it looks at you, it can just pwn you, right, instantly, right? And so if we're living in that world for a period of time where, like, the capabilities are locked up, it might actually make sense to use the Corpo software for a little while. That might be the only safe haven against, but only against those that have access to the model. So maybe that doesn't make sense. But it's kind of a weird flippening to where if this is the edge of capabilities and, like, pwnage, you know, maybe I want to run the software of the people that have first access to it. But that's kind of a short-term thing. And the long-term thing of what you were saying, I kind of agree. It's just like, it just increases the cat and mouse game. And when I think about what open source devs need to do and how we will react to it, it's almost just more of a forcing function to have us further automate our work with AI, but with a hyper-focus on security. Because if things are changing so fast, I almost think that the better security model in the future is that your security model is always shifting. It is dynamic. You have agents working for you at all times that are fuzzing and pen testing you, but also changing configurations and reacting to things in real time. And okay, that's far in the future, but maybe in the medium term, as open source devs, we have to start doing this with our projects, creating like little agent force fields that, you know, make it not just like a straight, like a static puzzle for you to solve. You solve it once and you can pwn, but that your, you know, security system is dynamic and it can shift, I don't know, to different modes. I can't even imagine what that looks like, but it's kind of just like the static nature of making a really simple, tight, hard piece of software. Maybe you'd rather have something dynamic that's like reacting to the adversarial environment rather than, yeah, just being static. A combination of both. And this is also where, like, we're talking about software, but cryptography, there's no wiggle room in the math. There's wiggle room in, like, advanced cryptography protocols that people don't fully understand and aren't vetted. But, you know, this paradigm doesn't change anything with, like, your seed words stamped into steel or something like that. Like, that paradigm doesn't shift. So there's still, like, hard, solid foundations we can lean against. But our ability to architecture software that is secure is just like, what is that even? Is that concept even? There's no such thing. And there kind of never has been such thing as a secure piece of software. If you're a real security researcher, you wouldn't say that. So I don't know. It's kind of just driving that to a shorter and shorter timeline. So, but anyway, I'm rambling on.
Yeah.
Good thoughts.
Yeah. I don't know if I have much to add on that. Yeah, I do. I mean, I think, yeah, I think it's, there's this a lot of, I think the way to think about the most technology like this, especially ones that are emulating humans, is like how to, like, Eye of Sauron models existed as human beings. You know, you have a Rain Man like vulnerability, like pen tester. They are going to find vulnerabilities like the Eye of Sauron model, but the Eye of Sauron model is now, all you need is a big enough GPU and enough memory, and you have another Eye of Sauron, and you have lots of Eyes of Sauron now. And I think that's what's different. But I wonder how many hobbits does it take to defeat a number of Saurons. I don't know, but that might be what we figure out in the near future.
Yep. So I'm gonna say something, but you can't say a name.
I can't say a name.
You can speak it out.
Any name, okay.
Yeah. So I have it on good authority that it's real, and somebody that we know, or maybe you don't know him, I know him. Topher definitely knows him, or no, I don't think Topher knows him. So it's real. The other thing I will say is I wouldn't worry too much about it because they're probably already deploying people there to like find out. I would imagine that here in the next, within the next 30 days, we're going to get like some leak from there. Like it's going to come out of Anthropic. We'll have like a leak as far as like this getting to the masses or open sourced. And then the third thing I'll say is like, I came in this morning and I was talking about, don't say anything Topher. I came in this morning and talked about how I think this is a bigger threat than quantum, in my opinion. And which leads me to the next thing, because you were talking about the ISRON, and I actually think like what Christopher David's doing with open agents is literally what you're talking about. It's like, how do you actually defeat something if there is an ISRON? Well, you get a wizard and you get a couple Frodos and whatever, Baggins and all those people, and you put them together and you like make it happen decentralized. And I think that's kind of what, for me, was the biggest thing this week, was like seeing all the people right there, 58 within like 36, 48 hours, selling their compute for Bitcoin. I'm not the person with the plan, knows how to get there. But for me, when I see something like this, this makes me incredibly bullish for Bitcoin, incredibly bullish for like what's possible in the future you're never going to stop evil, but you can balance it out. And so just want to share that.
Hmm.
I guess Topher has some thoughts. Did you have some thoughts? You want to talk about the whole thing?
I just want to say that I'm also bullish. Yeah. Because I trust Anthropic. As much as hate as they've been getting recently, I trust them. I trust them because they stood up to the U.S. government when they were using their model to kill people, and they were very much against that. The U.S. government made some very serious threats against them, and they still stood their ground. So I respect Anthropic for that. Yeah, I also believe them when they say that they produced a model that can just pwn any piece of software, any platform. And so I think this is the new normal. Like, because if they come out with the next most powerful model, they're going to do the same thing. They're probably just going to, they'll probably release it to top tech companies first so that they can pretty much go through the same, what's it called, Project Glasswing, the same kind of procedure where it's like, okay, first things first, let's find all the vulnerabilities we didn't know about and fix those before we release this to the general public. I get that. That makes sense to me. I also think it's exciting and I'm bullish because I think, I don't know if this is the first time, but it seems like this is the time, like we're at a time where the technology that's coming out of the consumer side of things is better than the technology that is usually hidden in within the military industrial complex.
Yeah.
Because typically like this kind of like technology, like they would have this hidden and compartmentalized in some project in some underground base somewhere where it'd be far from the eyes of the public and we wouldn't get access to any of this technology. But it seems like with AI, it's like all this technological advancement's happening out in the open. And it's not in secret. So for now, but I think this is like the way it's gonna be.
Yeah, I also think
like we would notice if suddenly AI advancement just ceased.
Yeah.
For like the civilian population, and then like we only hear whispers of things happening like on a military application side. Like I think the genie's out of the bottle. So like this is the way it's going to be. Like it's going to be civilians and military both competing for the same resources.
Right.
Of using these like frontier models.
Right.
Which I think is kind of cool. I'm bullish on that.
Yeah, I think open source 100% wins. End of the day, for sure. I think it is interesting though. Like one of the things I read on Twitter was that it went from like a typing. They were talking about their harness, their Anthropic harness or whatever that they're using, their whatever that harness is, and it went from like typing to now it's just thinking in code. So that I thought that was kind of fascinating because I don't think anybody really touches on that. How the predictive, it went from predictive text to predictive code now. So I mean, you could see a world where that would quadrillion X really, really fast. But
don't know.
Yeah, I think the trajectories that people have laid out roughly matches. If you get, I pretty regularly cite the AI 2027 stuff. I know some people are kind of, they think it, I mean, it is a explicitly a fiction, but they're, the fiction is built around real forecasts that people made about how these things progress. And what Tover describes of them having these internal models that they don't release to the public initially, that is kind of the first step before they have a model that they never, that they try to never release to the public. Like eventually that happens, and they're willing to do that because it's such a national security risk, they'll kill their public company if they have to in many cases, because otherwise we would all kind of die type of situation. But they give access to our military or our allies or whatever first, hoping that it gives them some ability to defend themselves against an enemy having a super intelligence first.
I don't think they can do that, though, because I think...
You think they'll leak?
Well, it's not just that I think that'll leak. I think that they can't develop better models unless they have human learning from humans actually using their models. So if they limit the amount of people that use their models, they won't get the feedback they need to make the next big model.
They wouldn't limit. I don't think they'd limit the number of people that are using the models. They would still have a great model. They would have as is, these models are worth us paying for. So they still have a business. The only way that this hurts them is if a competitor comes out with a better model than them, and then we stop using them and stop giving them our context.
Well, that's where this whole new thing kind of comes into play, is because like you're talking about setting the floor, and that was something that they were discussing on Twitter about, like, let's say next week OpenAI has this now, like who sets the floor for this that gives it to
them? They might already have it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like who sets the floor for this? And somebody's, it's like basically playing a game of chicken. So that's where I think all this gets out within 30 days. There's no way they hold on to this.
Yeah, I think leaks are inevitable, but I think there's going to be an attempt always to withhold the latest stuff.
Oh, it's going to be espionage, man. I mean, it's going to be kind of crazy. It's going to be like, I feel like we're going into the next Cold War. It's wild.
I mean, I already assume that all of these labs have.
But it's going to be like corporate Cold War.
Did you finish the word that you were trying to say?
Yeah.
I already assume all of these labs have access to their like next model inside, and they're using it, and it's already, you know, some delta better than their model from before. And that's easy to assume. It's also easy to assume that they have access to more compute and more tokens than they give to the public, and they kind of use it much more aggressively than any person would. I think it's not a stretch to consider that they do have significantly better models that are more token heavy, that have more resource consumption, that are significantly smarter already, that they have internally or using internally for like research purposes, at the very least, like, because I think that's what they're all trying to do, is build models that can do AI research, and they can kind of automate themselves. So
just real quick. So one of our friends, Christopher from Open Agents, launched this week. Super bullish on this. Like, he's been visiting the lab the past few days, and like local Austin AI company, like literally trying to do the impossible, right? Like this is like moon mission kind of stuff. Stuff that really gets me going. Love to see it. Look how many people that he's already got online. A lot of the people got rug pulled from the Tau token. That was a thing from BitTensor. And a lot of those people are coming into Open Agents now, running their M5s, M4s, M3s to earn compute. It's pretty cool, man. There's revolution starting. Love to see it. So I'm bullish on that. Bullish on stuff kind of the good and evil kind of balancing stuff out. Let's jump into Keon's picks this week. First one was Psychology of Bitcoiners, Myers-Briggs survey results. This is from Coob. What is this, Keon?
Yeah, so Brandon Quittam has been doing these, I think, since, it might have been 2020. It was the first one that I saw. But people have been doing these over the years. I think they go back all the way to 2013 or 2014. People have been asking either on Bitcoin Talk or Twitter or whatever venue Bitcoiners happen to occupy at the time, what their personality test Their Myers-Briggs personality test classify them as. And then, so Brian Quinnum went through and cataloged all of this data and produced all these graphs for us. His latest, he ran his latest survey using a Google form just this past year, and he released it this week. And it, we have a significant, Bitcoiners are quite divergent. We do not represent the distribution of the total the world population. We skew quite heavily towards INTJ, I think is the conclusion, or INT. I think, and we bias towards INT. God, I forget exactly what all these classifications are, but you can see the compare. This is, I think, from, yeah, this is, I think, across all of the surveys that he was able to find. The normal population has INTJs representing 2.1% of the population, and in Bitcoin, it's 34% of the population, and INTP, 3.3% in the general population, and 22% in Bitcoin. So, yeah, quite neurotic. What is the other part to it? I'm not sure.
G is for justice. P is, I know E is for emotional. Let's see. Yeah. I wonder if this can be used to like help recruit.
Yeah.
If we were recruiting.
Like, oh, you mean, yeah, we do a personality test for us. And we're like, you can come to our meetup because you'll fit right in. No,
it'd be like what the Scientologists do. What is it called?
They measure your chi or something like that. Yeah, your aura.
An audit. You go in for an audit.
Oh, an audit. Yeah, you get a personality. Ray Dalio actually became quite famous for running his company using a lot of psychological testing and like IQ testing, and he would use that to determine someone's fitness for a certain role, or maybe, you know, like the tasks that were given to them or like their expectations and stuff. He like tried to quantize the human beings in his organization to a level that most people hadn't before, you know, sort of, you know, in an attempt to sort of automate the meta of the org.
N stands for intuition. I just like to think it stands for neuroticism, but it's intuition.
Maybe correlate it.
So we're all introverted. We have intuition. We're thinking, and we're judging.
Yeah, well, that is, I think, the largest, like,
we used to have
category.
We used to have somebody that was in Pleb Lab, don't say who it is, that was, like, really into this. And, yeah. So much so where one time I didn't even know what I was, and they told me what I was. And I was like, damn, how did you know that? And it was because they had, like, studied all this stuff.
Yeah, I also wonder, like, what the selection bias is here, because all of these polls are taking place in online forums, and Bitcoiners are really online, I guess, probably relative to most people because it's like, you know, internet money. But I would guess that probably also like biases the results quite a bit. It's like, which Bitcoiners are on Twitter to answer this freaking survey? That already probably, I would guess that people on Twitter that use Twitter regularly are already sort of distributed in a way similar to how Bitcoiners pan out here. Yeah. So, but I thought that was, I think these are kind of fun. These are kind of like horoscopes from social sciences, and yeah, maybe for a little more masculine.
Do women like Myers-Briggs?
I think they do. I would guess it tracks.
Yeah, it tracks. The next one that you had was Scoresby's. Should you tell your children if you stop believing God? What was this, Keon? I didn't read this.
Yeah, Scoresby shared this, I think, over the weekend. I think over, it was Easter. And so he, you know, Scoresby comes from a strong Catholic faith that he feels like he's kind of lost touch with as he's gotten older. And he doesn't know to what extent he should communicate that to his children who are also practicing Catholicism. And yeah, ask stackers how they view it, and a bunch of people chime in and help. I just thought it was a good discussion. A lot of people came in. Your favorite, Jimmy Song, was in there and responded in there. But there's a lot of good
yeah.
things discussed in there, in my opinion. So
I don't really have any thoughts. I would say go talk to a priest or like somebody from that parish that your kids are going to, and they can answer any questions that you might have. That's what I would say. The next one is, where is it at? Oh, my stuff. Oh no, we didn't do our stuff. Oh yeah, this one's a fun one. So Vlad posted this in the gaming territory. He made an arcade. Did you see this?
I did see it.
So if you click start game, is it working? It's not working now. Well, that sucks.
The vibe. Maybe Mythos got him.
Never mind, it doesn't work. Anyways, yeah, he made a game and it was working. Now it's not working, but cool stuff. Just want to share that. The other one was, I thought it was going to work and we're going to play it and it's going to be a whole thing. That's what you get for not testing websites before they get on. The other thing is quantum safe Bitcoin transactions with no fork. This is from Aardvark. We posted this in the Bitcoin territory. I know me and Topher were talking about this earlier. Maybe Topher, you can talk about what this is, because I think people would be curious what you would say.
I mean, I don't know anything about this. I just see that they're using Lamport signatures.
But which is the way you would do it. I think the biggest thing that kind of caught my eye on this is like, why is the price so high down here when you look at the cost for this stuff right here?
Why is that so high? Lamport signatures are huge. But he was also doing something else with mining and RIPE MD160. So I don't know. I'd have to read more into this, like what he's doing exactly. But there's not going to be any novel way to stuff some sort of quantum safe signature in Bitcoin without a soft fork. So you're going to have to like do all kinds of hacks.
So what was the stuff that people were posting about? Like there is already options inside of what we have now, whether it's like Taproot or stuff like that. I think I saw one from Super saying something.
It was related to this too.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, you have options, but they're all ugly. And there's a lot of different trade-offs with each and every one of them. I don't know the trade-offs with this one. I think it's like single use.
Yeah, he has them right there. The scheme operates under Bitcoin's tightest constraints. That's a huge script size.
Yeah, 10,000 byte script size. Must fit 150 dummy signatures, hash commitments. Yeah.
If only there was something that somebody was making that was maybe a little better than this.
A little better than this?
Or maybe just a first step, right?
Yeah.
Instead of trying to swallow the whole taco in once, just take a small little bite.
10,000 bites is a lot.
Yeah. Maybe just get like a little bigger, small bite first before you take a big old chunk.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. I also don't understand how this protects you in the mempool. Because usually with these kinds of schemes, like the moment you broadcast a transaction in the mempool, then all the secrets are revealed. Mm. And then you're just back down to your ECDSA signature being the only thing that protects you. So I don't know if they have something else going on here.
It looks like he has some sort of work in progress. On-chain broadcast not yet attempted.
Yeah.
There you go. So I guess we'll see that here soon. Anyway, you love to see it. You love to see people doing cool quantum stuff, right?
Yeah, it looks cool.
Can't just stand around and not do anything and expect things to go away. That's not how it works. Turns out you can't just like fight on Twitter and then it just magically goes away. Doesn't work like that, unfortunately, in real life. Unless you're President Trump, and then you can just do whatever you want. But we're not President Trump.
Maybe we get enough oil from the Middle East. Well, that'll be we'll be able to solve this quantum problem.
Yeah. Yeah, unless you're the President of the United States, you can do whatever you want. But if you're not him, then you can't send out a tweet and fix things.
Not yet.
Not yet. Maybe once if Anthropic.
Yeah,
maybe
once Mythos if Anthropic. Comes maybe yeah, they just need the Twitter version of Mythos.
Maybe.
Yeah.
PSYOP will be full board there.
These are all jokes, by the way. Brought to you by Carl's Jr. The last one was this one. This was the Killing Satoshi. So this one got more. They're going to use AI for this movie. Keon, I go to you first.
Well, I saw this. You shared this on the. You like to share your links.
I like movies and stuff. Yeah. Okay, so Pete Davidson, is he playing Satoshi? Is this guy Kelvin Klein playing?
I don't know anything about the movie. This article
is Casey Affleck playing Satoshi? Topher, I go to you. Then Keon doesn't know anything about the movie.
I don't know anything about it.
Topher's from LA originally. Shout out Los Angeles, City of Stars. Apparently, he partied with Nicolas Cage one time in a rager.
So, oh yeah, that was a good night.
That was a good night. So Topher, I go to you, Mr. Los Angeles.
Oh, like born who's playing raised, Satoshi?
Who's playing Satoshi?
It's probably going to be what's his name? Pete.
Pete Davidson.
Pete Davidson, the guy on the left. Oh, yeah, he looks like he doesn't get enough sleep, so that's probably who they're going to cast as the hacker guy.
Did you do the IMDb in here too? Oh, you did it.
Oh no, is it this one?
I'm wondering who's going to play Craig Wright. That's what I'm wondering.
Which one's the IMDb?
The blue.
This one is the IMDb. Oh no, it's not. You clicked the same one. All right, go keep. I'm sorry, Topher. Keep going. Let me look for the IMDb.
Oh yeah. Well, there's more actors listed on the IMDb, so it's kind of interesting.
I actually bullish on. Oh, here it goes right here. Okay, so Doug Liman's the director. He's made some good stuff, but I am bullish on.
Oh, he made Edge of Tomorrow.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He's good. We got a good one there. But the let's go to this one right here. Killing Satoshi on this one. So they even added Gal Gadot.
Wow, maybe she's Satoshi.
Don't make me laugh, Keon.
Oh man, I wouldn't put it past them.
Yeah, do you think they cast like, you know, Nick Salsbo to like make an appearance, or like some of these other guys like Adam Beck, or like
they'll probably have Roger Ver.
Oh, do you think Pete Davidson plays Roger Ver?
No,
oh, he could. I could see him crying on camera.
Dude, is he wearing a dress? That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm really excited to see this movie. I'm going to be there day one.
Yeah, so it's a...
Are you not going to watch it?
An investigator dives deep into the cryptic world of cryptocurrency to expose Bitcoin's mysterious founder. So he wants to expose him.
Why?
A relentless investigator. Okay,
but it's fiction. It's all fiction, though.
So who looks like they're the most relentless in the cast?
Oh, probably relentless. Casey Affleck, because he's played other movies where he was like an investigator. What was that movie called? That he's a really good actor. Where's that? It was this one that he made with his brother. Gosh, where is
that? I kind of want to make some bets, like who's going to be who in the movie?
Yeah,
can we do like a bingo game?
Yeah, he came out in what was the one they did with his brother? Not Manchester.
I just don't know what they're going to do with Gal Gadot.
Gone Baby Gone. This is where he played the investigator right here. This was this movie. Gone Baby Gone. And he was an investigator. So I can totally see Casey Affleck being the investigator. Yeah, two Boston area detectives. Did you ever see this? This was made by Ben Affleck.
Is this the one where the lady is crazy? It's like wife is crazy?
No, this is more like the kid's missing and then he has to like solve it. Morgan Freeman's in there.
Why is he relentlessly pursuing Satoshi?
Oh, to go back here? I don't know. Yeah. Maybe he's trying to get to his Bitcoin wallet, maybe?
I think it's just because it's a mystery. It's almost a mystery.
I think it's the same thing motivates him that motivated the New York Times journalist or the HBO documentarian.
Yeah.
Is just they want to be the one to crack the case, to solve the mystery. Who is this person that change money forever?
Who do you think it is, Keon? And we've never talked about this on the show. Who do you think it is?
Talked about it probably on a yearly basis.
No, we never talked about who you're.
I think it's probably. I think as far as the concept and design, it was probably. I think a few people were thinking about it together, and not all of them are honest people who haven't doxed who actually programmed the software. I think it was one person who programmed the software, one person who was on Bitcoin Talk and on the mailing list talking about it. But I think likely there were several, you know, a few people throwing around the concepts at the idea stage and vetting the ideas together. That is my...
Yeah, I think
being, Satoshi,
I think being in Bitcoin so long and seeing so many stuff launch from like a project level around this, I've kind of realized, yeah, the same thing. Like, it's usually like one person spearheading it. And if there's like two or three autists like around them helping, and there's like one person that's like... Yeah, I could totally see that too. It's probably like three or four or five people, something like that.
My top vote is for Sydney Sweeney. I think Sydney Sweeney did it. You want to know? I think
all, she would have been not born.
All that Bitcoin is her jugs carry all that Bitcoin.
She would not have been born, Dion. Anyways,
that's exactly what she wants you to think, man.
Excited to see Gadot. How do you say that last name? Gadot.
I think she's the investigator.
Oh, you think she's the investigator?
Yeah.
Yeah. She's gonna be good in this movie.
Oh yeah, she's like got a Frenchy accent, right?
Ooh, right there. Woo, doggy.
I want this to be a lover's quarrel. Like, Satoshi banged this guy's girlfriend, and now.
Maybe this is Satoshi's girlfriend, and then like, she broke up with him, and then he started decentralized money. Maybe that's all. I can totally see that as a plot. So he did it for me. Not really. Cool stuff. We're gonna jump into. I think that's all. Yep, that's all the stories this week. Cool. We got a zine. Oh, we got a zine. Hang on. One zine. Have a cheeky peek. Weekly zine. This one here. Welcome to the Snacker News Age. And this is the web version. Brought to you by Blood Poet. Oh, money is the moderator. Oh, wow. That's a good tagline.
Oh, hey. You like one of our taglines.
That's a good one. Money is the moderator?
Yeah, we've had that one for a few months now. You didn't like it when I said it, but you like it when you comes out when you say it, I guess.
No, I like it when it's like designed really well and it's like looking like, you know.
When it looks, when the words look
when the certain. Look, yeah, when it looks right. That looks right.
Ah.
Money is the moderator. Anyways, cool stuff. Check it out.
Check out the new zine.
We need people to subscribe to this. Apparently, I was told the people have... There's only a few of you subscribing. I need to go right now. I need to click subscribe. I need you to sign up. That's a car ask. Make it happen, Stackers. Make it happen. The next one is... Let's jump into the top Cowboys. Woo! Most popular segment, grab your hat, hold on to your shorts. It's the Cowboys segment. Giddy on up. Feel like we should have like a graphic that just has like a horse and it's you riding the horse and then it just like comes across and you just like break like that. Well, I can make that happen.
So it's the first thing we should do when Mythos comes out. Yeah.
First thing we should do.
Yeah.
Anything change here?
I don't think so. I think it's pretty much exactly the same as everyone expects it. Everything's just so in place. And how exciting is that?
Satoshi's coming up.
He's really sticking to it, I guess. 8 days.
Kepford, legendary stacker here.
Should
have a golden cowboy hat there. Zero X Bitcoin.
Takes more than 5 days to have a golden one, I'd say.
Peter Todd, another legendary stacker, has been there since the early days.
I think a legendary Bitcoiner.
Legendary Bitcoiner as well, too. We got Atlantis Blood making a comeback. Ovi coming in. Oh, wow. Blood Poet. Yeah, the whole people are there. Sox. I got to tell Sox real quick because Sox, dude. Let me lower this real quick. Loving the new editor, man. Makes my job so much easier to prep the show now.
Look at that.
Super easy.
He's happy with you, Sox.
Sox, good job, Sox. It's just so fast, dude. It's like it's reading my mind. It's like the editor's reading my mind, which I like. That's like good UI, good UX.
Yeah, he spent a lot of time on it.
Yeah.
And he did make a lot of hard decisions and did the right thing.
But it's perfect. Hard thing. Yeah. It's perfect. It took me like less than an hour to figure it out, but like... If I would have came into Snacker News for the first time and then had that, it's really easy to post now. It's a
good
now.
Time, yeah.
Oh, there it goes. Beat just dropped. Keon can't hear this.
Nope.
You're listening to the song? It's pretty good.
I have.
That's all of it. That's all the top Cowboys. Let's jump into this is the wrong one. Crap, I almost made it. It's hard to do that. Ooh, so long. The YouTube comments. Apparently, Christopher Medley 2740 said, gutting the Internet Archive would be like the burning of the Great Library of Alexandria.
Ooh.
It would be a sad day for humanity if this were to happen. Please don't let history repeat itself. Because of corporate greed. Hey, we're doing our best.
Chris, yeah, we're not in charge of the
I mean, we're trying.
Of the Internet Archive. I mean, I wish.
I mean,
wish
put me were. In charge of the Internet Archive.
I could be the
I feel like I could steward
King
that.
Of Alexandria.
I could steward it.
Yeah, let make Carr the King of Alexandria.
Dude, easy. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Yeah, the Great Library of Carandria.
I could do it.
Yeah, why not?
I mean.
Look, but the other thing I want to mention is that article specifically was about future stuff on the internet. Not they're not going to like burn down. They can't. You can't remove the archive of the old stuff. So
I don't know.
At least there's that. We get that.
We also have fake ones that stay in your traffic lane.
Oh hey.
I don't know what that means.
We were talking about the
the
Bitcoin mempool traffic.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Little animation.
That could be a shot at me though too as well.
Oh damn.
Clear that up, Vic. Let me know. And then Philip said, for what? I don't understand what that means. Oh, he's talking about the samurai stuff. Yeah, that was an old one.
Yeah, they pled guilty for unlicensed money transmission. I think in exchange for the other charges getting dropped and I think a limited amount of jail time. And they thought that they could appeal that charge because it was I think it was the weakest one. But it's actually the one that, like, probably screwed over the industry more than the other ones. So that's what we got.
And then we got the found comments from a discipline that says, Carr, I don't like chocolate. Next 5 minutes, Carr rattling off a dozen different chocolate foods and beverages that he loves. Hey, man, I know what I like. I don't really deviate from, I know you like to experiment with your food. Not me.
Dude, you...
It's very rare.
You have the cashier at the bodega.
Don't give out my place.
He gives you food.
What are you doing? This is crossing the line.
It's not crossing any line.
It's a little crossing the line.
He gives you food and you eat it.
Whoa.
It's very experimental.
Whoa. Hey, my friend...
It's quite adventurous.
My friend...
Dude, what's his name?
Everybody's my friend, but this guy's a really good friend of mine. And he feeds me sometimes. Dude, I was telling him, like, the thing that he gave me the other day, I ate the rice thing. It was the spiciest stuff in the world. And then I was telling Austin this morning, like, he was telling me that, like, he had this whole, like, this is where I don't like talking about this stuff because I just overshare. But all I'm saying is, like, if you want to feed Carr, then... I'm not going to say no. That's the quickest way to my heart.
Unless it's chocolate, I guess.
It's the quickest way to my heart, man.
Well, yeah, like on your birthday.
You fed me, what did we eat? The nachos. Dude,
well,
I love you now. I've always loved you, but now I really love you.
Pleb Poet got you a chocolate cake.
Oh, yeah, she did give me a chocolate cake.
And you were
cake.
Like, nah, it's not Dutch chocolate.
I didn't say that. She looked at me. She did her thing that she always does. She's like, you don't like it, do you? And I was like,
You said no.
I didn't know. I'm not going to lie.
Said you don't like chocolate. You don't like chocolate is what you said.
Yeah. Then she told me the other option, and I was like, oh, but it totally took in the other option.
Which was cheesecake.
But no, I'm appreciative of even that gift.
We're talking about chocolate still, so I think that's kind of what's going on. You're an adventurous
eater. I feel like we're oversharing. I'm not an adventurous eater. I eat the same thing.
That's the whole point of this podcast is to share. Like, we're not oversharing.
But I feel like I'm oversharing other people's, like, you know, stuff.
How? Am I talking about chocolate?
I'm sure Plepo will say, oh, I can't believe you said that. And be like, hey, I'm sorry. Wow. Yeah, I brought it up.
No way. That is so unlikely.
Pour one out for NYT. Okay, let's see if I can do pour one out. I'll drink one for them.
Yeah, pour it in your mouth. Pour it out into your mouth.
There you go, discipline. And then Undisciplined said, if you zap me 1K sats on SN, you get a cowboy hat. What? This whole time? I'm going to do it, man.
That's it. That's how it works. You just got to zap Undisciplined 1,000 sats.
Zap you right now. You're going to be like, where'd those 1,000 sats come from? I'm going to be like, so whatever you post recently I'm going to zap it 1,000 and see if I get a cowboy hat. We'll see. He just told me how it works, Keon. Cool. With all that, Keon, what are you doing this weekend?
What am I doing this weekend? I am going to hang out and chill out. I might watch Avatar, the new Avatar. I haven't seen it yet. I know you saw it, and you said, I think you said it wasn't good.
Did they release it already or something?
It's like out of theaters.
Oh, it's on Disney Plus and stuff?
I think
so. No, you're going to love it, though. You like movies like that, where literally doesn't make any sense, and what's the point of the ending? And you're like,
we both say that about each other's movies choices.
No, you especially. You like Matrix 7 or whatever that crappy movie was. What was that movie? The worst Matrix movie of all of them.
Oh, Matrix it was the 4. Worst Matrix movie, but it was still a good movie.
Yeah, you loved it. I was just like, how is that?
And I only loved it because you guys wanted to hate it. Because like it was
literally the worst thing you could ever make. But okay. I think it was purposeful. I think they did that on purpose.
They tried to make
it bad.
They're
trolling us, yeah. They're trolling us. Which is kind of sad.
Oh, so that, is that what Avatar 3 is? It's the
no,
worst.
I think on this one, I think he probably ran out of budget. So a lot of the stuff at the end looks kind of like he had to... I think I write an article on here about it? I think I wrote something about it in movies.
You did. You did.
Yeah, I did. What did I say? I think there was like... Didn't I write that about that? I feel like it was like a year ago, maybe. Most. I don't know. Does that mean?
There you go.
Yeah, I did write about it. Yeah, I think I forgot what I said. TLDR. Fire Ash is the Dune 2, Terminator 2 without the payoff. Yeah. It starts off so strong, too.
So Terminator 2 is great, right? Most people consider that the best Terminator. But they land the ending.
Like they land those movies.
That's what made it a great ending.
And not only do they land the ending, they end up becoming one of the best movies of all time. But I mean, James Cameron is James Cameron. Like, even his worst movie is still a great movie. But once you get used to greatness, you just kind of do it. Yeah, and I even said the bad, yeah. It gets pretty dark. Yeah, I said that it gets pretty dark. And then the other it was a third act. Yeah, the whole third act was just terrible. I'd probably watch it again, but I would just watch the first two acts.
Wow. Well, that sucks. Well,
no, I mean, you're going to love it.
Yeah, I might watch it. I don't know. If there's something better,
I
might watch
it. Yeah, I never
went
back to watch it on 3D IMAX either.
It's kind of feeling like a movie. I haven't seen a movie in a bit.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm going to do. How about you, Carl?
What do you call it last weekend? The Robert Pattinson one and Zendaya one? That was like one of the most disturbing movies I've ever seen in my life. It was good though.
What is disturbing? What movie is that?
I don't know. I don't know what it was called, but it was really good. Hmm. It's like a really good A24 movie. But I wouldn't go out there and watch it. That's not what I'm saying. But it's a good movie. It was a good movie. I was surprised how good it was. Because I was expecting not to like it.
Ah.
Anyways. Yeah. No, I'm just gonna work. I have work to do, and then more work to do tomorrow, and then
never stops until Mythos takes your job.
I don't know, not my job.
Maybe you don't think it's not gonna come after you? It's breaking all of the
unless you can clone me, but I'm a
glass wing class software.
I'm an original card.
All right, we'll see.
All right, have a great weekend, Stackers.
Zap.